Of you that are with us are here, and for those of you that are watching us on Facebook, welcome. We're glad you're with us. Just a couple of announcements. Please remember that next Sunday is our pastor's last Sunday with us. We have planned a potluck dinner in his and Lynette's honor to unfortunately say goodbye, but to wish him well on his new placement. We do need you to bring some food, since it is called a potluck. The church has the money to provide the money has been provided to do the meat, so I'll be taking care of the meat. We have a couple of vegetables. We have some green beans, some macaroni and cheese, some coleslaw, and a promise of a banana pudding and some of Nancy's famous truffles. So that's what we have so far. And so if you can let me know if you're able to bring something so that we kind of have an idea of what to expect. But please, please come and please be with us next week. My heart is sad to say goodbye to Sam and Lynette and Lily, but we do wish them well in their new placement in Clinton. Choir practice is continuing on Wednesday nights at 5, Bible study. We are in Hebrews. We start Hebrews 9 next week. We wish you would come be with us. It is so interesting. We do have our AA meetings that meet on Wednesday at 5:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Wanda is in the office Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 12 to 4. You can always call and leave a message if those times are not good for you, and she will call you back on those. Do we have any other announcements? Then let's prepare our hearts with worship and have the chiming of the hour.
Good morning, everyone. Excuse me. Welcome to Rockridge United Methodist Church's Sunday morning worship service. Please stand for our first hymn, number 334, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. We're going to sing it through twice, or once, or 14 times, or just once? Okay. Just one time. Thank you for remaining standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, number 881 in the United Methodist Hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. I have a few that I bring with me. Both Larry and Wanda sent me texts just before the service asking for prayer, and both were for similar reasons. So I'm not going to go into details because I don't want to tell you that Larry's having trouble that Wanda is and Wanda's having trouble that Larry is, but they're both having trouble with their legs, their knees and things such as that. So keep them in your prayers, if you will. Also, Larry said that Arville has been having some trouble with dementia this morning. And so just keep Arville in your prayers, and also please keep Larry in your prayers. I know he's under a lot of stress and a lot of strain, and even though he does have home health care coming to help him, it's still a lot to deal with, especially with everything else that has happened in the past year or so. So if you think about it, give Larry a call or send him a note or bring him food by the house. I heard that Nancy was going to have some truffles, so you know, maybe we can take a few truffles over to Larry too. We'll just gather them all up at the meal, and whatever we don't eat, which, well, maybe you better make some extra ones then, Nancy, if we're going to go by what we don't eat. But please keep Larry in your prayers, and Wanda as well. She has been trying to make it in to the office, and she's done a pretty good job, but you know, she's just... she said she's going to call her doctor tomorrow, and hopefully they'll be able to figure out what's going on with her. So, excuse me. Also, keep Mel in your prayers. Most of you, I think, know Mel, Liliana's godmother. She comes to church most Sundays, and she and Liliana just got back from Pennsylvania yesterday, and Mel's not feeling well today. So just keep her in your prayers, if you will. I think it's allergies or sinuses or something is what she says she feels like it is. But I know that doesn't affect anybody else around here this time of year. But keep her in your prayers. Also, keep my stepdad, Steve, in your prayers. He's been having trouble with his knee. And they said he went to the doctor. And they said he has really bad arthritis in his knee. So they gave him a cortisone shot and all that kind of stuff. And it's supposed to help. But my mom, I talked to her yesterday, I believe it was, and she said that he's still in a lot of pain from it. And Steve is, he's a guy, so I can tell you his approximate age without getting in trouble. But he's in his 80s. I don't remember exactly where he is. I want to say he's about 84 or so. But he acts like he's about 34. And so he still gets around really well, and so I know that his having trouble with his knee gets to him because he doesn't like to feel like he's helpless. So keep him in your prayers. And then Terry's cousin Ron has just been having a lot of different health issues and things. So keep him in your prayers, if you will. And keep Terry in your prayers as well, because Terry is kind of his primary, I don't want to say caretaker, but his primary contact, I guess. And he calls her, and I know that it causes her a lot of stress as well. So keep Terry in your prayers, if you will. Other than that, I don't have any other requests. Does anybody else? Miss Pat?
Keep safe and traveling.
Okay. We'll do that. All right. Anyone else? Morgan? All right, we will pray for that. Yes, ma'am.
Please remember, my sweet little Ellie has to go back to Shrine Hospital in Philadelphia. They're leaving tomorrow to go up there for the doctor to kind of see if there's any progress at all with her arm.
Okay.
So please remember them.
We will. We'll definitely do that. Amen. Does anyone else have any requests? Don and Becky Lane are over at Kingston this morning. Their grandkids are all in the service this morning, so they said they had to go over there. So just in case people noticed that they weren't here, that's why. So, but they should be here next Sunday, and we've decided, and Becky's not watching, but she may watch later, but we've decided that Becky's going to fry up a bunch of fried chicken, homemade fried chicken, and if it's not here, then it's Becky's fault. Remember that. So keep that in mind. So, no, they're over at Kingston, and they will be here next Sunday, but I just wanted to let everybody know that they're all right. If no one has any other prayer requests, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lily has one. I bet I know what it is. What is it, sweetheart? I love you too, sweetheart. All right, now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, we thank you for this time we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. We invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us, Lord, to remember all of those who are sick, all of those who are struggling, all of those who are shut in, whether by choice or by necessity. We pray, Lord, that you would be with all of those who are mentioned today. For Larry and Wanda, who are having some issues with their legs and knees and things such as that. And also for Steve, who's having a similar issue. For Arville, who's having trouble with dementia. We pray for safe travels for Morgan and for Steve and Brian and for Ellie and the rest of her family. Lord, we pray for comfort, strength, and healing where it is needed. Lord, we pray for our church, our local church, of course, that you would continue to bless us, that you would continue to help us to do what you have called us to do in the community in which we find ourselves. But also, Lord, the United Methodist Church, as we are going through difficult times ourselves, and also, Lord, the global church. Christians are still heavily persecuted, the most persecuted people group in the world still, by a long shot. And we don't always realize that because we are blessed to live in a country where persecution isn't really a thing. It comes in things that are really more minor annoyances. But Lord, many of our brothers and sisters struggle just to have a safe place to worship you. So we pray for the church worldwide as well. Lord, may we do the work of your kingdom until either Christ returns for us or we return to him. We pray all these things in his holy name as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for our second hymn, number 362 in the United Methodist Hymnal, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. And we're going to sing the whole thing, Clayton. All right. And it's actually 361. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to say a blessing over our tithes and offerings. As a reminder, you can give in the two baskets, one here and one at the entrance to the narthex or the exit to the narthex. I'm not really sure how that works when you're coming from the church. But you can also give online, and you can also either drop off in the mailbox, mail it in, or bring it by when Wanda's here during her hours. And I do want to say thank you. I won't name any names, but there have been a few people in the last little bit who have brought in some tithes and offerings that have been missed for various reasons. And I just wanted to say thank you for that. I know that, unfortunately, this past year and a half or so, we haven't been able to come to church for some of it, and there are various reasons for that. And I know that church is one of those things that can be out of sight, out of mind. It's not something I think that we intend to be that way. It's just there's so much else vying for our attention that if it's not right in front of us, sometimes we just miss it. And so I want to thank all of those who give faithfully as well as those who have answered the call to help out with financial assistance for the church. We certainly appreciate it. And in all things, we pray that you would seek the prompting of the Spirit in how to give when you do give your tithe and offering. So let us say a prayer over our tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, Lord, may we be reminded as always, we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers, may you bless the receivers, may all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 20. All the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You're old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. The Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected. They have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly. Let them know what the king who will reign over them will do." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses. They will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow the ground and reap his harvest. Still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials in attendance, your men servants and maid servants, and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles." This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. You know, this little section of 1 Samuel has a lot of teaching and preaching points in it. And so since it's my next last Sunday, I think I'll just preach till about 5 o'clock so we can cover all of them. Nancy, you better get those truffles. People have something to eat. So now there's a lot that goes on in this passage. One thing that is just an aside, and I just have to point it out because I think it's hilarious, is can you imagine being Samuel? "Samuel, you're old. We need a king." I mean, can you imagine people coming up to you? They're not even respectful about it. They're not like, "Oh, great and wise Samuel, prophet of the Most High God." They're just like, "You're old. Your sons are bad. We want a king." That's what they basically are saying, you know. I think we can all relate to that in some way, having been told that we're no longer fit for whatever it is that we're, you know, we've been doing our lives. But the thing that I really want to point out is what my sermon title is, Let Someone Else Deal With It. Why did the people want a king? What was Israel's issue? Before this time, it was the book of the Judges, the time of the Judges. That's why we have Judges here, not too many books passed. And Ruth takes place in the time of the Judges. The Judges were not official leaders per se. They didn't hold an office. You didn't go to the judges like you would to a king. You didn't give things to the judges except when they needed things. The judges rose up when there was a significant problem, right? The law of Moses allowed for local government, if you will, is basically a council of elders. And whenever there was a problem, when people had problems that they couldn't solve amongst themselves, they would go to the elders, and the elders would solve the problems based on the law of Moses. And that system worked. Judges were only raised up whenever something affected a multitude of the tribes. When something bothered the entire land, judges were raised up, and they usually were raised up for military reasons to protect. But the Israelites got to looking around and they said, you know what? Everybody else has a king except for us. We're the weirdos. We don't want to be the weirdos. Now, we all know that the grass is greener on the other side, right? I mean, we've all figured that out in our lives, right? And we all know where that comes from. We've all seen that cow who's got a lush, beautiful pasture of grass, and she has her head stuck under the fence trying to eat the grass on the other side. And we sit there and we go, goofy cow. They sure are dumb creatures. And then we go to Walmart and we see a TV that's, you know, got one more inch bigger than the one we got at home, and well, we just have to have it. It's, you know, it's bigger than my TV. Look how crystal clear it is, and that curve, you know, and man, it's got more hookups for things, you know. My granddad lives in an assisted living home over in Loudoun, and one of the funniest things that he has done since he's been there was he befriended a lady who lived in the room next to him, and she got more cable channels than he did. And he couldn't figure out how to get more cable channels. He asked the cable technician, and he asked the people at the assisted living place, and they said, well, you know, she kind of got grandfathered in, so she has like an old cable package that they don't allow for anymore. Well, if you know my granddad, which I don't think very many of you do, but if you know my granddad is stubborn and hard-headed. And so that wasn't the end of it. He started asking my dad, how can I get more channels on cable? Find out. How can I do it? And finally, this lady, she didn't pass away, but she had to go into a little bit higher level of care. So she moved to a different part of the facility. So when the cable guy came to remove her stuff, my granddad asked him, hey, how can I get all the channels that she's got? And he said, well, it's not that hard. I can just run, you know, a cable over here, and we can tell the facility, and, you know, they'll just add it the extra to your bill. And so my granddad petitioned, that's what we were going to do, and all this kind of stuff. And my dad asked him, he said, Dad, what are you going to do with all those extra channels? You already say there's nothing to watch. You already say there's nothing on TV. Well, I know there probably won't be anything even on those channels, but I want them. I want them. That's why I have to have them, because I want them. It doesn't matter that it's going to cost me more money? Doesn't matter that it's essentially worthless because I already don't like what I can watch. And anybody who has ever really paid attention to like digital cable, I don't know how many ESPN channels you can possibly have. But my mom, when my mom got cable, they messed it up, and so they gave her a free year of everything. And so, you know, she had like 1,000 channels. There are ESPN channels that literally all they cover is like the spelling bee. I mean, like seriously, sometimes ESPN will have the spelling bee on like the regular one if there's a strike in baseball or something like that. But they have like ESPN, you know, spelling or something. And it's got like the spelling bee and things like that. I don't know about y'all, but I can find something else to do with my life than watch the spelling bee. And I like words. But I want it. I want it. I don't have it. I need it. I deserve it. That's where we get to, right? I deserve it. That's our positive affirmation. In one of my favorite movies, Jurassic Park, there's a line in Jurassic Park after everything has gone to chaos and they're trying to figure out how to get off the island. Dr. Ian Malcolm says, you know, you guys were so busy worrying about whether or not you could, you didn't stop to think about whether or not you should. I say all that because that's what Israel is doing here. They don't need a king. They have localized government that takes care of the small things. When a major threat comes, God raises up judges and he fights with them and they overcome their enemies. They don't need a king. Think about it. They're not paying taxes. The only tax they ever really pay is when they go to the temple, they pay the temple tax to support the priests. But that's it. They don't pay taxes. They do what they want to with their lives. You know, I mean, they have to abide by the law, obviously, but they do what they want to with their lives. They can decide, you know, who their daughters marry. I mean, unfortunately, they live in a time where daughters didn't really get to decide that, but still, they can decide who their daughters marry. They can kind of decide what they do with their lives. They can decide what they do with their money. But everybody around us has kings. And have you ever seen what kings wear? They wear nice clothes. They drive fancy chariots. They got big houses. Notice, though, when Samuel warns them, he doesn't say, you will have to do these things. He says, your sons and your daughters will have to do these things. I don't want to get political because I don't believe that the pulpit is the place to be political. I think that the pulpit is apolitical. I think it speaks to politics by nature because Scripture does. But I don't think it's a place to talk about who we should vote for and what we should vote for and all these kinds of things. I do, however, want to point out that we as a society, we as a church, we as human beings are really bad about looking around, seeing what we don't have, seeing what other people do have. And rather than saying, God is enough, we say, I deserve that. And so we borrow money we don't have for things we don't need. But that's okay, because I'll pay it off later, and if I don't, somebody else will. It's fine. No big deal. One of the bravest things that I can think of in church history is the Protestant Reformation. And I don't mean that because we're Protestant. I don't mean that because Catholics are bad. I mean it because Martin Luther, this old monk from, it wasn't even Germany. You know, I didn't realize until I really started studying Martin Luther, Germany hasn't really been a country that long. Like France has, and England has, and, you know, Spain has, and all that. But Germany, for the longest time, was just a bunch of little provinces that sort of got along with each other depending on what day of the week it was. So you have Martin Luther, a nobody monk from nowhere, in the middle of nowhere. And he struggles with his faith because in his mind, God hates him. God loves him so much, he hates him. That's essentially what Luther believed. And Luther had to teach Paul's letter to the Romans, and he started translating it, and he found out, you know what? God doesn't hate you. God's not trying to kill you. God's not trying to murder you. God's not trying to oppress you. God wants to give you freedom in Christ. And Martin Luther said, this is beautiful news. We can't do anything to earn God's favor. He just gives it to us. And being the naive person that he was, he said, obviously the church leaders don't know this. They haven't read this, obviously. And so he said, I'll let the bishop know. Hey, guess what? The bishop knew. And the cardinal knew. And would you believe that all the way up to the Pope knew? But guess what? Wars are costly. When you're trying to conquer the entire world for Jesus Christ through the power of the sword, it gets expensive. And then when you're trying to build a really beautiful, I mean, don't get me wrong, I haven't been there, but I've seen pictures of St. Peter's Basilica. It's beautiful. When you're trying to build that as part of your legacy, that costs money too. And if we go around telling everybody that God loves you and salvation is free, well then, how are we supposed to raise money? We can't loan things, right? Because usury is bad. The reason that the Jewish people were so wealthy in the Middle Ages in Europe is because they were the only ones who could lend money at interest. Because it was against church law. We don't want to be like those Jews. You know, those guys, they killed Jesus, and Jesus doesn't love them. So what did they do? They didn't say, you know what, Martin Luther, you're right. They said, somebody shut that monk up. They did everything they could think of to try and shut him up. They brought him to have a debate. Which, if you know anything about Martin Luther's history, it wasn't a debate. It was a trial without benefit of counsel. And Martin Luther made a famous speech that ended with these words, "Here I stand, I can do no other. May God have mercy on my soul." See, Martin Luther realized that you can have wealth, you can have power, you can have things, but if you don't have God, you have nothing. If you don't have God, you have nothing. Israel wanted a king, and they got a king. And the beautiful irony that is God's plan of salvation. They had some terrible, terrible kings. But the King of Kings came from that lineage. Because the most beautiful thing about God is this. Even when we mess it up, even when we kick it down the road and say, let somebody else deal with it, even when we do everything we can to ruin the blessings that God has given us, God still says, here I stand. I can do no other because I love you. And I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. The beauty of Christianity is that God, our God, will always overcome our weaknesses. And as a favorite quote of mine says, it's a comforting thought to realize that when God called you to do whatever God called you to do, He already factored in all of your stupidity. And He called you anyway. Brothers and sisters, trust God. He has a way of making a way where there is no way. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to do the work of the kingdom, trusting that you are with us always. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. Did everybody get a communion element, our prepackaged ones? All right. If you don't have one and would like one, I can get somebody to get you one, but let us begin Holy Communion together. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, he gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake now. When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink. This is the blood of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Let us partake of the blood of Christ together. Looks like we're having some technical difficulties, but that's okay, because number 12 is hanging out right here. In remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice. In union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now with the children, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. May you go forth in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You are dismissed. Go in peace. Thank you.